And welcome back to the Nature Connections show. My guest today is Owen McCabe. Owen is a coach, a speaker, and author, and one of Ireland's first life coaches. So, welcome to Nature Connections, Owen.
It's great to be here, Sarah. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you and your listeners today. Looking forward to it.
Yes, so I'm really happy to be talking to you. What you do is really congruent with all that I do and really opening to our own inner nature. And so why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you, and the kind of work you do? And I always think it's really interesting for people to hear how you first began doing this work as well. What called you into working with the heart?
Okay, yeah, sure. I guess I can trace it back to when I was maybe about 16 years of age. I came across this book. It was called Your Erroneous Zones. I think when I was buying it, I thought it was something else. But I ended up reading it anyway, and I actually found it fascinating. And it was a book by Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it got me into the whole world of personal development. So from the age of 16, I became fascinated with psychology and the mind and how we can be, I suppose, more of who we really are. And that never left me, that passion for personal development. So in my later years, went on to become a teacher and a careers teacher, a career guidance counselor. Worked with adults, and at some point I decided I needed to broaden out my skill set to work with to be able to work with adults at a much deeper level than just on their careers, because a lot of them were coming with problems that had nothing to do with work really. It was much more personal than that. And I was looking at psychotherapy as a training, but I came across at the time this course called life coaching, and I had never heard of it before. And this was about 12, 13 years ago, and I decided I liked the sound of it, so I went ahead and did it. And on the back of that course, my life really started to change dramatically afterwards. I got so much from the program, and I learned so much about myself and life, and what's possible and what's not possible, that I just it was like I met that 16-year-old again, and just everything took on a whole new direction for me. And since that time, I went on to set up a company and training in specifically in personal development and in coaching, and that became very successful, and established myself as a coach as well, and have been doing that for 12 years and loving it, I have to say. But the actual focus on the heart work has been something that has become pretty much a mission of mine really in the last number of years. And what galvanized it for me really was a marriage breakup back in around the mid-2000s. And that was a harrowing and traumatic experience for both of us. There was no children involved, but it was still a painful experience. And what it did for me was it basically broke me open, in terms of pulling me or throwing me into my heart, and probably for one of the first times in my life, I was about 35, 36 at the time, I realized what it was, what it meant to be connected to the heart, to be in the heart. And it was that experience that actually led to the marriage breakup. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the essence of it. And since that time, again, things have taken a huge shift, and the quality of my work has deepened and transformed, in the as has my own life. And I'm in a new relationship with a 5-year-old boy, very so a very loving family and a real family. And that is very much down to the fact that I have become much more heart-centered, albeit through a painful experience. But that's the way life seems to teach us. If life was easy, we could all be lying on the couch having a couple of beers or something. But it's not. That's not going to be an option really. So it's about really, I suppose, facing the difficulties, challenges, and traumas that we have in our life, and learning from them as opposed to staying a victim to them.
Yeah, so what strikes me as I listen to you is that even from a very young age, you were somebody who loved to help and to advise people. And you've always been on this track, haven't you, of guiding and advising people.
Yeah, I absolutely I have, yeah.
There's always a thread that runs through our lives, and that's yours.
Very definitely.
And I also like your expression of hearts breaking open. I have heard that expression before, because often when we hear the words heartbroken, or the heart, the word heart and the word break have always been put together, but they've all often have a kind of negative connotation. Or but you're actually taking that experience and making it positive, aren't you?
It's and that's one of the choices we have in life in terms of what happens to us, how we decide to respond to it. And heartbreaking incidents are painful, but they're not necessarily life-threatening unless we hold on to the pain and sort of get lost in that pain and the whole sort of poor me syndrome that accompanies that. And that's debilitating and just a very tough space to stay in. But if we decide that instead of hurting ourselves continuously over that we're going to learn from it and become stronger, then that's a life-affirming choice, and it's what builds the heart and makes it stronger. And the heart has that capacity to overcome pretty much anything, if we're willing to allow it to happen. And so your heart breaking is really just an opportunity for you to grow in life and become much stronger. So it's never something to be afraid of.
Yeah, so that is a very powerful statement and sentences that you've said there, that any moment we do have a choice as to what we do with what's happening. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that, because I think as the part of being human is to being in our heads, the opposite of being in our hearts. It's the world we live in. So it's, for many of us, it's kind of a default position, even if we should know better, should in inverted commas. So, when we find ourselves in our heads, how can we make that shift? How can we take that opportunity to shift it? And how would we know if we are in our heads?
Okay, well, I suppose I'll answer that last part first. There are many clues or signs or indicators of when we're in our head. I suppose the obvious one is if we're overthinking or overanalyzing or worrying, basically thinking too much. That's a clear sign of being in the head. So too is being focused on fear. If we're stuck in fear or worrying, if we're being sarcastic or cynical, if we're being negative or self-critical or indeed criticizing others, when we're being judgmental or trying to be right, trying to win an argument, being defensive, attacking, not feeling confident, making assumptions, not listening, feeling a victim, feeling sorry for ourselves, or blaming others, or giving out, or complaining. These are all indicators of head-rooted activities and consequences of being in the head. Being attached to things, being not letting go, being addicted to gossip and drama, bullying, or even being bullied. These are all very much head activities and the consequences of being in the head. And of course, the consequence of all that is a tightness or a tension in the body. And we may or may not be aware of that tension or tightness. It may take several hours or even weeks or year, in some cases years later before we realize that we have been holding our body in a very tense way for quite a while because we've been in our head so much. And hence we can suffer from illnesses and bad backs and aches and pains and even in extreme cases further down the line, heart attacks, strokes, if we really are cut off from our hearts and our bodies. So the idea of being almost living at a distance from our bodies in terms of just staying in our heads, it is very much a default setting. It's something that we consider to be normal, but it's actually quite dysfunctional and very, very harmful to our physical and emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. So when we do catch ourselves doing any of those things, you know, we need to cop ourselves on, to put it bluntly, and realize that there is a better way, and the better way is to choose to step into our heart space and to respond to whatever's going on around us from that space. And the way you know when you're in your heart space is you become aware of your body. You can physically you're in your body, and you feel what's going on inside your body, be it aches and pains or tension, tightness or relaxing or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just that you're actually feeling. That's a key thing. And also, you know, being in your heart obviously will be associated with feeling warmth and love for something or someone. They're clear indicators of being in the heart. But so too are things such as a willingness to engage, a willingness to forgive, choosing to listen, choosing to trust, being very supportive, being very patient, empathizing, showing affection, physical, emotional affection, and even indulging in real creativity and laughter, and fun, and joy, playfulness, lightheartedness. All these are the consequences of and ways into the heart. So when you meet your meet someone walking down the street, and this is a person who you have had a checkered history with. Sometimes, you know, you can sort of love or hate them, that type of person. And literally, that's the case with everyone. We can choose to love or hate them. We can choose to love them or not love them. And that's always the choice we have. And rather than waiting for them to say the right thing or do the right thing before we decide to love them, we make it much easier for ourselves. And make life far easier for us if we just choose to love them because they're there. And that's the only reason that's needed. The fact that they're there in front of us is reason enough to love the person. And in doing that, we are automatically loving ourselves in the process of loving another. So it's very healing. It's very therapeutic. And it's equally so for the person that we're loving in the moment as well. So getting into that mindset involves practice, a willingness to try something new like this, a bit of a risk because you're choosing to be what some people might term vulnerable, and yet in our vulnerability is where our power and our strength actually resides. So it takes courage, and it takes a level of awareness to choose to be vulnerable, so as that we can actually really experience life in all its glory, and connect with people, and a willingness to connect. And happiness is ultimately about relationships, and a willingness to connect to people around us, rather than waiting for people to connect with us first. I mean, that's just playing mind games, and no one wins doing that sort of thing. And to answer that, and how do we get into the heart? So, you know, another way is to use the breath and just picture ourselves or visualize the heart and actually breathing into the heart, that heart space, either the heart organ or the heart, the center of the chest. Just picture the breathing, our breathing into that space. And that brings us, that we're automatically then going into that space, and we're grounding ourselves and becoming much more present to ourselves and to the moment and to those around us. And that's one very easy and automatic way of coming into the heart. And as I said, another easy way is to have a good laugh. Find people, hang around with people, or watch something or read something that actually brings a real smile to your face and helps you have a really good laugh. And in those, in the moment of really laughing, your heart automatically opens. It can't but open when we really, really laugh, you know. So fun and lightness are ways in as well. And as I say, choosing to love, just simply to love. And it could be just your dog or cat, doesn't matter, or out in nature as you'd know. But it's just choosing to fall into that space of love. That's available to us all the time.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Yeah, so I think it's something that we all have access to, and it does take sometimes a little bit of reflection and self-awareness, and this always changes and always grows whoever we are, but we all have something or some things that bring us back to that space, don't we? And as you've mentioned, some of the breath is a great way, because it's quick, it's easy, we can do it absolutely anywhere. We're not drawing attention to ourselves in any way if we do that. As you say, I use nature. Many people use exercise. As you say, laughing. There's all different ways, isn't it? So it's really finding that way that works for us.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, exercise is a good one. But and for some people, it's music. Creativity in all its forms are ways into the heart as well. A good movie, you know, there are some beautiful movies that really move, the person, you know, in terms of the story, and books. So there are many ways, absolutely many ways into the heart, and it really is whatever brings the person joy, ultimately, and doing work that. I suppose sets a person on fire, that lights them up, be it paid or voluntary or as a hobby, you know, just following the heart in that sense, and having the I suppose trusting themselves even just a little bit to actually take a couple of steps in terms of following the heart in the world of work or something parallel to the world of work, like unpaid or hobbies, that can be a starting point for people, and then of course, you know, starting looking at the relationship, your own relationship with yourself. You know, one thing I say to people is if I was to hang around with you for the day, and if I was to speak to you in the way that the negative voice in your head speaks to you, would you let me hang around with you for the day, or what would you do to me? And invariably, the person would tell me to get rid of me pretty quickly. But yet they put up with the negative voice in their own heads, and they very often believe what they hear in their own heads. And of course, that creates a very toxic relationship. You know, the relationship with themselves is very detrimental to their own mental, physical, and emotional well-being, and all they have to do is remember that actually, at the center of them, at the heart of them is their heart, and that's the most powerful organ they have in their body, and if they were to spend more time being heart-centered, then they will learn to fall in love with themselves again in a very practical way. And that would play out in terms of improvement in diet, improvement in health and well-being, improvement in the relationships with others, because the relationships with others can only mirror the quality of the relationship with themselves. Mm. And so people tend to spend too much time trying to fix or change people around them and improve the relationships with those around them without ever paying any attention to the relationship with themselves. And that's the key. If the relationship with themselves is limited or damaged in any way, it can't but be mirrored in the relationships they have with those around them. So, you know, if people were to start really paying attention to how they relate to themselves and how they treat themselves, both in terms of how they talk to themselves and how much time they give themselves to rest and to do things they enjoy and to take risks in life, doing what they would love to do and learning and not being afraid of failure and all that stuff. You know, like they'd encourage a child. They need to encourage themselves in the same way. So that's all heart stuff. That's all heart work.
And it often goes against what we're taught at school, the advice that is given to us by sort of more institutionalized places. And the rational advice, and just the very, very word rational, shows us that it's mind-based, doesn't it? So we do need to be very, courage comes to mind. It takes great courage.
It really, really does, because it can seem like you're going against the grain, you're going against society, against the norm, and deep down everyone wants this. Deep down everyone wants to be heart-centered, and most people, a lot of people anyway, believe they don't know how. And the madness of that is that they do know how, because they were doing it right up until their early, well, probably up to before they became a teenager. They were doing it right through their childhood. They were naturally heart-centered. So we all know how to do this. There's no mystery to it. And the head doesn't know how. But we stay stuck in the head if we spend time trying to figure out how, because all that means is you're still thinking. So you're still in the head thinking about how to be in the heart, but the only thing you're not doing is being in the heart, because you're still in the head thinking. So it's a nice catch-22. And as a former teacher, I couldn't agree more that our education system and then the world of work and media, they're all about encouraging us to stay in the head. Because when we're in the head, we're easily influenced. We're easily manipulated. And our buttons can be pushed in various ways to keep us buying and keep us in the treadmill of society and the world of fashion and the next trend and the new thing to do or be or have or get. So it's that consumerism just on never ending as long as we stay in the head. Whereas as a consequence, then we end up with more than we need. Less time with people and less time for ourselves. Our health suffers, and the consequences of that head-based living are pretty dire. And in extreme cases, people just find they can't cope, and they harm themselves or kill themselves. In extreme cases, so the consequences are pretty awful for those of us who remain headlocked and disconnected from our hearts.
So it's so important, isn't it, to surround ourselves in all different ways with very heart-centered energies, and that can literally just mean turning off the TV or something that simple.
Getting outside, going for a walk, picking up the phone, talking to someone who you're close to or whose company you enjoy, or spending quality time with a pet, or you're absolutely right.
Would you talk to us a little bit about the energy of the heart? Because I know it has from the work that I do and the Heart Maths Institute, there's a lot of research been done into the huge scope of the heart.
It's incredible, really. I mean, the heart is now known that the heart is by far the most powerful and strongest organ in the body. Its electrical impulse can be measured 3 to 4 feet from the body, and it's easily 60 times stronger than the brain. Electromagnetically, it's potentially a couple of thousand times stronger than the brain. So it is the most powerful organ in the body, and it has a range of functions. It's not just a pump. It's also involved in producing life-enhancing chemicals that prevent or certainly reduce aging. Not, well, it doesn't prevent, but it certainly reduces aging. It has an anti-aging impact, and it and other hormones that help produce and help reinforce or strengthen the immune system. It also plays a role in healing the body's systems as well. And there's far more information traveling from the heart to the brain than from the brain to the heart. So the brain takes its lead from the heart. And of course, it's now known that the brain, that the heart has its own actual brain within it, and it has its own nervous system. And one of the things about the heart is that all our emotions are processed and felt through the heart, but also processed through the heart. And it's going back to what I was saying earlier about about being too much in the head and focused too much on fear and negativity. You know, what accompanies that is emotions such as frustration, anger, rage, you know, and fear itself. All these type of emotions are actually quite destructive to the actual physical structure of the heart. When we feel those emotions, when we create and experience those emotions, particularly on a regular basis, we're actually interfering with the heart rate and the heartbeat and the resonance of the heart, and it becomes quite disjointed, and as a result, it actually physically weakens. It physically actually weakens the heart wall. Whereas when we choose to feel more harmony, more sort of harmonic, if you like, feelings of love, joy, peace, acceptance, forgiveness, all these emotions are much more life-affirming, and they actually strengthen the heart wall. So there's a physical impact that these emotions have, and and every emotion has an impact, and no emotion is neutral. So the emotion is either life-affirming, it's either boosting our immune system, it's strengthening our physical heart, or it's doing the very opposite. So the heart takes it really is a sort of a clear indicator of our health in any given moment, because it takes everything on board and everything passes through the heart in an energetic sense, at least. So it's a very, very powerful organ, and it is actually more in charge of the body than the brain ever was. And it's accepted now as being the lead organ in the body on many levels and for many reasons.
Wonderful. Yes, well, it's so important to hear your words, and it's so important to continually remind ourselves of this information. So thank you for sharing this with us this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Now, I know people can connect with you in many different ways. So would you like to tell everybody how they can find out more about you, get hold of your ebook and your actual physical book? And I know that you're somebody that likes to, you do weekly videos. So please tell everybody how they can keep up this connection with you in order to help them keep their hearts open.
So on my website, which is my name, owenmccabe.com, people can sign up to the weekly video blog, and they will get a free ebook as a thank you for doing that. And it goes into everything we've talked about in much greater detail in this ebook. The video blog then goes out on a weekly basis on the website and on my YouTube account. And they can connect with me on Twitter at Owen McCabe and Facebook Owen McCabe. So they're all avenues into this body of work, if you like. And then my own book called Open is available on Amazon and many other online formats. So it's available in paperback and also in Kindle, electronic format. And also, it's there's details of that on my website as well. Mm-hmm. So again, it's everything is under my own name, OwenMcCabe.com, OwenMcCabe.com.
And you also offer, you give talks and you offer coaching as well, don't you?
That's right, yeah. One-to-one coaching and group coaching and doing a lot of speaking for corporates and just general public and across the board. It's one of my passions, actually, is speaking. When I'm speaking in front of a group, I'm very much in my heart because it's just the whole experience is just so enjoyable and there's a real flow to it. I just love it. And they're all sort of very clear indicators of being in your heart when you're experiencing that type of stuff. So it's very much a passion of mine, speaking.
So for anybody that's listening right now, how would they know to come and find you to access some help? What's the kinds of areas that you help people with? And I know that could be absolutely everything is the answer to that, but... Maybe give us some ideas of the kinds of things that you help people with.
Okay. I guess a lot of people would one of the obvious areas that people come to me because my initially in the coaching world, my background was career coaching, and I would still see people in a sense around the career stuff. So you know, people can come to me if they're looking to. Explore what they would love to be doing. In other words, thinking about what maybe words that might come to mind would be life purpose or finding their passion or the work they were born to do. So I work with people in identifying that aspect of career work as opposed to just, I don't do CVs and stuff like that. Other areas that would be a very strong body of work for me is working with people in terms of helping them improve or develop relationships with others. So people who are looking for love are finding love or improving the relationships they're in. And then some people come knowing that their relationship with themselves are not what you know aren't what it could be. So they're coming purely to be coached on feeling better about themselves and being more confident, be more compassionate towards themselves, and have the courage and the conviction to actually follow their heart and to learn to live from the heart. So more and more, I'm getting people who are literally coming with that very clear agenda. Which is fantastic, because, you know, as opposed to coming with a career issue or a relationship issue, and it turns out, oh right, okay, so the underlying issue is really that I'm disconnected from myself. So more and more people are becoming aware that actually, the root problem is this, and I want to work on it. Yeah. But as you say, the issue could be anything, but very often the roots of the issues that manifest on the surface, the roots tend to be one of the very few small items that are common to us all.
Brilliant. Well, thank you again for sharing of yourself, all your words, all your wisdom. It's very nourishing to hear your words, and definitely just connecting with you, it really allows that energy to flow. So I'm sure everybody's really enjoyed this heart-opening experience. So if people are listening and don't have access to this in any written format, would you just like to spell your name out to everybody?
Yes. So Owen is spelled E-O-I-N, and then my surname McCabe is M-C-C-A-B-E.
Brilliant. So it's owenmccabe.com. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Owen. Thank you,
Sarah.
Very,
thank
very
you.
Much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're very, very welcome. And I wish you. There's so much potential. I know you've already tapped into bucket loads of that, but you know it's very beautiful the work that you're doing.
That's great to hear. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, Sarah. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Okay. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
All right. All the best. Bye bye.